Welcome to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. From handguns to rifles and hunting to self-defense, even a bit of politics. It's time to exercise your First and Second Amendment rights. Call and join the conversation, 734-822-1600. And now, your host, Dick Kupke.
Well, good morning and welcome back to Trigger Talk Live, okay? And just to clarify for everybody, last week we had some technical difficulties, let's say. We had Derek, my wonderful producer here, and our switchblade of information here at, not switchblade, Swiss Army knife. He could be a switchblade too, right, Derek? Yeah,
sure.
Okay. Derek was ill last week at the last minute, and Dan Martin, who fills in when Derek's not around, was recovering from surgery, and they called up and said, hey, we don't have anybody to run the station. Can you guys pick a pre-recorded show? So I just did a repeat of last week. But I'm back live, and Derek's back, looking pretty good, feeling okay today.
Yeah, I'm feeling really well.
Well, that's great. That's great. So we're going to have a regular kind of show this week, and no repeats. As a matter of fact, I went last Saturday in the afternoon, or late afternoon, 4:30-ish, I went out to Tri-County Sportsman's League and went to the NRA dinner. And I went as the guest of Rob Steele, who is a longtime friend of Theron's and ours and of the station here, and been on the Michigan Regents and also, or you know, all sorts of stuff like that. And he is still very active in politics, and he's a very big supporter of the Second Amendment. So Theron and I went as guests to him, and we had a great time. I got to say, I not counting now, I went as a guest, but that gives me extra pocket money to be able to do the white bucket drawings and raffles and things like that and bid on things and stuff. I spent $200 and didn't win anything. I knew that was going to happen. I mentioned that the week before. Last time I went with Theron, he won a 9mm and I won nothing, okay? So he won a really neat Canic Janik is how they pronounce it over there, apparently. But a Turkish 9mm. Didn't win anything this time, but we had a lot of fun. We had a great dinner. A lot of people there. All money was flowing on things like raffle tickets and bidding on things and stuff. It was, you know, it's good to see people returning to normal and supporting the things they love, like the Second Amendment. And in particular, these NRA dinners, they typically they support the NRA fund that is funding education and safety training and kids programs and things like that. It's not going into Wayne LaPierre's $10,000 suits and stuff like that. The NRA has a lot of problems they got to fix, but we're going to talk about that a little later too, a story about you know, really what the NRA is, and it's us, okay? It's not a couple of politicians and stuff. So at any rate, let's see. I'm going to start out here with our gun shows. We do have several in Michigan, the Edmore Gun and Knife Show in Edmore, Michigan, the Michigan Antique Arms Collector Show at the Suburban Showplace. So that's out in Novi, and it is taking place this week. And it's the Verified Novi Gun Show. So there's two things going on, a regular Novi Gun Show and also the Michigan Antique Arms Collector Show is there. And the Free Soil Gun and Knife Show. Free Soil Community Center from Free Soil, Michigan. I don't know where that is. That sounds like a neat place, Free Soil. And also the Big Bear Sportsman's Club Gun Show in Caliva, Michigan at the VFW there. Ohio's got three at the Shelby County Gun and Knife Show, the Cambridge Gun Show, and the Akron Area Gun Show. And Missouri's got four, the Ashland Gun Show, the Grand View Gun Show, Missouri Gun Show and Knife Show, and the Christian County Elks Gun Show. And even New York has three gun shows with the Freeport Antique Gun Show, the Plattsburgh Gun Show, and the West Potsdam Fire Department's Gun Show. So that is great. I've got a caller, and I invited him on the show to talk about it. I'm going to mention a few things about how much fun I had last week at the pistol shoot. But first, let's welcome Jim Walter to the show. Hi, Jim. How are you?
Dick, I'm doing quite good.
Good.
Glad to be with you today.
Good. Well, I thought that it would be a good opportunity because tomorrow is another pin shoot out at Tri-County, right?
Correct. It's the 22 rifle and pistol caliber carbine bowling pin shoot. We shoot those at 20 yards.
And so that's, what was the distance for the pistol shoot?
That was 25 feet.
25 feet. Okay. So so you're talking a little bit longer distance, but you got a little bit longer sight distance and things like that. But I got to say, I'm going to come out because I had so much fun last week. I went out to observe. And the reason is because next week we're doing that Ipsy Ann Arbor chamber shoot, right?
Correct.
And and we're adding the pin shoot as part of that this year. So I came out to observe how that all works, and you kindly lended me one of your Rugers, didn't you?
Yes, I did. I let you use my Mark III competition target.
And it with a red dot on it. And it was wonderful. I'm a big Mark II and I have a Mark IV Hunter also. But I'm a big Ruger fan, but this, I don't have any with red dots on them. And it was it's a delight to shoot, isn't it?
Oh, they're a gem to shoot. You get a good red dot on them and they're accurate. They're fun. They're quick. I have a good time with mine and you seem to have a good time with it also.
Yeah. And, tomorrow is now normally the pin shoot. I remember from years ago it was only pistols and you did them once a month, but now what you do is you do the pistols on one week and then the following week you do the pistol carbine, and that's become a big deal these days, hasn't it?
Well, the pistol caliber carbine has in the past few years has become a little bit more popular, so we thought we'd put on an event that people could bring their pistol caliber carbines out and enjoy it. But surprisingly enough, we have a few guys will show up when we do the rifle shoot with their handguns and shoot with their handguns at the 20 yards.
Oh.
And some of them are very good.
I'll bet. Well, and you allow 22 rifles too, right?
Yes, 22 rifles
and
pistol caliber carbines, nothing over a 45 ACP.
Okay. And like with the 22s, I mean, you've got plenty of velocity and energy still at 60 feet there to or 20 yards, 60 feet to knock over a bowling pin, right?
Oh, definitely. They go down.
And there, you've got a lot of sight radius on a 22, but also I dug out one of my 22s. I have a 10-22 takedown, and I found an old red dot that I had, and it's not a good one. It's not a fancy schmancy new one like you guys have with the little RMRs and stuff, but it's an old Tasco Pro Point or something. But nowadays the red dots have come down and the quality has gone up, like the Sig Romeo 5s and things like that.
They're great. You can get into what I found, and I'll tell you what, some of the guns that I let my the grandkids shoot, I put on a cheap red dot. And I'm talking the ones that you can pick up at the local sporting goods stores for $49.
Yeah.
They last about 3 years, then you replace them because you never know what the kids are going to do.
Well, that's true. They might get dropped and stuff like
that.
And I, as a matter of fact, I'm going to talk about one today on the show if I get to it. It's a new one from Crimson Trace, and they're in these I want to say $100-$150 range, which is a very reasonable price for a decent optic like that.
Oh, they are. They're great. The only thing you have to be careful of is some of the less expensive ones don't have a nice bright dot.
Yeah. Yeah.
You know?
Yep. Well, I'll tell you what. So tomorrow, what time are people supposed to come out?
Do we start shooting at noon?
Okay.
We're there about 11 o'clock to start to get everything set up.
Okay.
We start shooting at noon. Once we get five people on board, five people there to shoot, we'll start shooting. And we continue to shoot till we run out of people.
Great. And the cost on that is like $5 for explain it.
It's $5. For $5, you shoot down total of 20 pins, which is four tables of five pins. So So each five pins you shoot, you're timed, and we write down your time, and it's basically bragging rights.
It's just for fun. You were cleaning. You were doing an outstanding job with a revolver last week, weren't you?
Yeah, I was in the low 4 second, high 3 second times.
Yeah, and that's with the double action revolver, which takes some. And you had a red dot on that too, didn't you?
Yes, I did.
Yeah, see, it's just so cool that you can, And by the way, that was a 22 caliber pistol, and so it's not costing a whole lot to shoot it either.
No, it's even at today's prices, you can go out and have fun, and not spend a whole bunch of money.
Yep. So, folks, come on out to Tri-County Sportsman's League tomorrow at noon. When you turn in, you come down and you actually sign in down at the range, don't you?
Yeah, we have sign in at the range, so you'll see signs that says stop, you're trespassing. You'll drive right on by those and come down to the range. First thing when you get to the, we're on the far pistol bay. Mm-hmm. You'll park, you'll walk across the little creek, and you just keep walking to the last bay. And the first thing you want to do when you get there is sign in, sign the sheet.
Yep.
And Dick, let them know this is open to the public.
Yeah, it's not just club members, folks. This is correct. Open to the public, just like so many of the different events that they have at Tri-County. So thanks, Jim, for calling in today and sharing that. Hopefully you'll get a good turnout tomorrow.
Thanks, Dick. It's supposed to be a great day tomorrow. The weather's supposed to be good.
Yeah, one of the few days that's not raining this week, right?
Yes.
Okay, thanks for calling in, Jim.
You're welcome. We'll see you there.
Yeah, bye-bye. Yeah, so that is so much fun. I thought it would be fun to talk about because I had done it a couple years ago, and I had done it a few years before that. And I got to say, in between, I seem to get so wrapped up in other things and I forget how much fun it is. So it is a blast. I think this might be the last one of the year, but it's something to look forward to. And it's a good way. You're kind of competing against yourself to get your better times, but also it's interesting to see, like Jim was talking, he shoots in the high threes, low fours with a revolver. I was shooting in the sixes, like 6.13, 6.82, something, and then I had a flyer that was like an 11 or something like that. But the thing is that you kind of sit there and go, wow, he did that twice as fast as I did. I really need to practice with that. So, and I hadn't done it in a couple of years, so it was a lot of fun. So let's see, what's on your hip? Let's go back. I was going to say we will have new numbers next week, probably, because October 1st is Friday. But we're at 760,450 CPLs. What's on your hip today? I decided I'm going retro today. I'm wearing a Smith & Wesson 586, which is a 357 Magnum 4-inch barreled gun. It is in a Gould & Goodrich thumb snap outside the waistband holster, and it is sporting Hornady 135 grain Hornady critical defense rounds, and I've got an HKS speed loader in my pocket with backup ammo. So that's what I'm wearing today. So you guys can call in and tell me what you're wearing. So anyway, let's see. I saw Jim at the NRA dinner last week too. I had so much fun. We spent let's see, from 4:30 till 9:30-ish. So we spent a good 5 hours mainly talking about guns and some politics and things like that. I do want to say I enjoyed talking to listener Linda from Manchester. She was there, and she was telling me about she's gotten a Smith & Wesson Easy 380, and she hasn't shot it yet. So I offered up. She goes, well, they gave me 8 rounds of practice ammo. Well, we need to do a little more than that. So, Linda, you can call in if you want at 822-1600, but also we'll have to get together in the next week or two and do some shooting, okay? Get you acclimated to that new gun. Let's see. I mentioned the IPSC Ann Arbor Chamber of Commerce. They didn't do it last year, I think, because of the COVID stuff. But every year, the Ypsilanti and Ann Arbor Chamber of Commerce sponsors a shoot. And what they do is it's a competition. I think there were 8 teams from different, they're divided up into groups. And actually, Jim Walters there was talking about, he's going to run in the pistol area, we do timed events with the, normally they use plate racks. This year we decided bowling pins would be fun. And then I'm going to do an accuracy shoot in the pistol house. And so that'll be fun. And I want to say it's good that can you believe the Chamber of Commerce actually is supporting something with guns in Ann Arbor? Hey, we got to have a group protesting that. Maybe we, but at any rate, the point is that people can have fun with shoots with guns. We did at the NRA dinner. I was reading a story this week, and there's always the people that protest these things. But there was a booster club from a football team that was having a raffle to raise money for the football team and for equipment and things like that. And so they decided to raffle off some firearms, okay? Oh, my God, are the people coming out of the woodworks to complain about that, okay? You know what the thing is, though, is that when you raffle off guns, you get legit. By the way, whoever wins the guns has to have a background check and be a good guy and has to be guy or gal and has to be old enough and responsible and not a felon and stuff like that. So knock it off, people. The thing is that the firearms themselves are a good draw. You get all sorts of people, just like at the NRA dinner. I spent $200 on raffle tickets, okay, because I wanted to win something. They had a 10-millimeter, like AR-style pistol caliber carbine. They had a 243 single shot. They had a 22 buck mark. They had, and what did I do? I put all my tickets in those white buckets. Okay. And then I also bought some cards where they do a deck of cards and you get a half a card and then they draw it. And I'm a sucker for those. $20. I could have won a cool 350 legend or a neat AR or something like that. It's a real draw. And so save me the BS of you people out there who are like, oh my God, well, it's guns. It's going to be more guns on the street and all the shootings. And you know what? Those aren't the people that are buying the guns in the raffle. Those are not the people going to NRA, friends of NRA dinners and stuff like that. And we'll talk about that in a little bit because of the some of the articles I've got. First of all, I want to say I got a phone call from a friend of mine named Chuck, and he brought to my attention, and I had briefly seen it. I was kind of busy last week, and on Thursday last week in the Ann Arbor News was an article, and the article was about, I want to say they said, shootings in the state have Michigan in the crosshairs, okay? And so he brought it to my attention, and I've got to try and find it here now. Why can't I find it? There we go. It was called Surge of Shootings Puts Michigan Cities in the Crosshair. And you read through, and it's they allude a lot of things, but they're talking about that the pandemic and the, let's see, where did they put that? That The rise in gun violence in Michigan and elsewhere has been blamed in part on the coronavirus pandemic, which created stress and uncertainty about health and jobs and housing. Gretchen Whitmer is pushing for $75 million in federal funds to hire more police officers, increase their pay, and cover programs to fight violence. We need more cops in communities experiencing a rise in gun violence. Let's see. That have been associated with this pandemic. Well, I don't think the pandemic really has anything to do with it, unless it's the fact that you've got a whole bunch of young adults and people who are not in school and hanging out in gangs and drug violence and stuff like that, okay? And by the way, there are instances where they are trying to blame it on the increase in gun sales, okay? Oh my gosh, we had 20 million gun sales last week. Those were gun sales reported with NICS checks and things like that. Those are not the people that are out there shooting. You read every night, 15, 13, 18, 20 people shot in Chicago. are those people that filled out 4473 forms and did background checks? No, they're not, okay? So let's put the blame where the blame is due, okay? So you go on and they're talking, they try to say this. Police heard a lot of reports that people bought guns with pandemic stimulus checks. And their concern is that they're getting stolen and winding up on the streets. Kalamazoo seized 158 illegal guns through the end of April. Again, these are not the people that, you know, you get, by the way, the people that got stimulus checks, and people may have bought guns and ammo with them. Good for them. I think that's a great idea, okay? But those are the people who are buying them for self-defense and have proper training and do background checks and things like that. Probably not the people, well, they might have gotten a stimulus check and gone down to 8 Mile and found a guy with one of those Columbo raincoats and a bunch of guns on the inside of it. I don't know. But it's interesting because you get into they blame it on everything except where, and by the way, they're all in inner cities that are having the problems. In Michigan, they're talking about Flint, in Grand Rapids, in Kalamazoo, in Benton Harbor areas, Lansing, where they are having gang issues and stuff like that. And I want to say, this was one that happened this last week, where there was a gunfight. A guy started shooting at a baby shower because there was a dispute over somebody helping them carry the gifts out to the car afterwards. Okay? Now, I don't think there's, you know the old saying, you can't fix stupid? Okay? Well, I want to say, I don't think there's any amount of safety training, any amount practice of properly locking your guns up, of ensuring that a proper background check was followed, that's going to stop somebody from shooting a group of people at a baby shower because he wouldn't help them carry the gifts out to the car. Okay? Oh, man, this is just amazing, okay? So anyway, I want to say, the reason that I this story was interesting, and I went in and I got it off of the Ann Arbor News. I downloaded the pages, and it's actually a long article, and it's too long to read to you. I wouldn't want to just read it on the radio here. There are certain parts of it that are accurate, actually, and mostly it's where people are talking about better law enforcement or more law enforcement or ensuring that people who have guns are charged properly and that they get the guns off the streets and things like that. And I want to say, this is actually leading me into another story, which is the next one that I want to talk about, which is the Ingham County Sheriff's Office is actually gathering signatures from people because of a new program that their prosecuting attorney put in place, a prosecuting attorney named Carol Siemens, okay? Well, she's decided that there's a new policy that would no longer issue charges for felony firearms unless circumstances warrant the charge. An example is that include, like, when other charges that could apply don't address the circumstances of the case, and when there aren't a witness and they can't meet the burden for other applicable charges. Well, the point is that it used to be that in Michigan, when you had a felony firearm charge, there was a mandatory 2, 5, or 10 year sentence upon conviction. They called that a mandatory 2, okay? And that helped get these repeat offenders off the streets, okay? But now, well, you know, what she's saying is that she's happy that when she's reducing the racial disparity of the people that are being charged in Ingham County. I got to say, we're going to talk about this some more. I'll give you some quotes that'll blow your wig off, as Theron would say. This is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600. We'll be back in a few minutes.
Wham Talk 1600. Welcome back to Trigger Talk Radio with your host, Dick Kupke. Call now, 734-822-1600 to join in the conversation.
And we're back. And I was just talking about the Ingham County Sheriff, and his name is Scott Rigglesworth. And he is complaining about Ingham County Prosecutor Carol Siemens. And what I want to say is that he's talking about law enforcement and how if you catch people with guns that should not have guns. Now, but wait a minute. You know, somebody could be shot, and if they have COVID, well, they died of COVID, okay? You know, because of COVID, we got to keep the numbers up and all that kind of stuff. But if somebody creates or has a crime and commits a crime, and they are having a firearm in the commission of that crime, then that would be a felony firearm charge, okay? Oh, well, but, you know, we don't have witnesses and we don't have, you know, we can charge them with, you know, breaking and entering with intent to steal a TV or something like, you know, BS like that when he had a firearm, okay? Now, here's what she said. Siemens responded with the following statement in response to Rigglesworth's petition. During my tenure as the prosecutor, I've worked to reform the system, consistent with the approach that we have had since we first joined the campaign in 2016, and advocating progressive changes in the criminal justice system. During my first year in office, the number of persons imprisoned in Ingham County was reduced by 37%. At the same time, though, we saw that among the population of those that cases were handled by our office, we have had the same racial disparity. For example, 12% of the population that is black continues to make up 40% of the cases. Shrinking the system, decarceration is not enough by itself. Working with the Vera Institute of Justice, the Metro Lansing Truth, Racial Healing, and Transformation Project, and others, we are taking a closer look at the policies and the types of cases that create racial disparity. Okay, I've got a news flash for you, okay? If 12% of the people are creating 40% of the crime, that's because that's who the criminals are, not racial disparity. Okay? So I want to say, let's work on those issues. Let's work on the families without fathers. Let's work on the issues of education. Let's work on all sorts of things like that. How about some respect for life? How about that if they won't help you carry the presents from from the baby shower out to the car, you don't pull out a gun and start shooting at them? Where? Okay, that's okay. We should be talking about guns here. 100 million gun owners, not the NRA, are why Democrats can't pass gun control. Okay, the NRA membership has not grown in 8 years. In 2020, it's mustered only about half of what was spent in 2016 to elect Donald Trump. Leaked financial documents indicate that its revenue dropped by more than $80 million in the last 4 years. The group also just failed to attempt to declare bankruptcy. Now, this is the whole issue with the NRA and Wayne LaPierre and the misuse of funds and things like that, okay? And people still blame the NRA for, you know, oh, the reason that they're paying off the politicians. No, they're not, okay? The reason that, and it's not the filibuster and the politicians and people being paid off. The reason Democrats can't get their top gun priorities passed, and they haven't passed an assault weapons ban since taking the House in 2018. They're unlikely to pass it this year or before the midterms. That's not a good plank to be hanging your hat on. The deadlock isn't the result of the NRA paying off politicians, okay? It's much simpler than that. Many people in the country own guns, and millions of them are dedicated voters, and they are now what stands in the way of new laws. Okay, this was from an article that I read, and it's by a guy named Dan Zimmerman. But the point is that it is true that it is, you can't have people buying 20 million guns a year. We got 300 million guns and 150 million gun owners in the country, and you cannot keep demonizing them. You cannot think that they're going to vote for more gun control when they're out there buying guns. Okay? Now, here's a gun that anybody can buy. Okay? And I got to tell you, this is kind of a fun story today. It's called the Elastic Precision Semi-Auto Rubber Band Gun. I got to say, I laughed at this. I saw this article, and they are outstanding. And actually, I want to tell you, I looked them up. They first of all, one of them looks like a Walther PPK. One of them looks like a 1911. They're made out of polymer and also wood, okay? They are mostly wood. And they have a mechanism in them where you load like six or seven rubber bands on them. There's actually an MP5 version that holds 24 rubber bands, okay? And you just keep pulling the trigger. And they are outstanding. I watched the video on them. They come with a supply of rubber bands. The 1911 comes with blue ones, and the PPK comes with green ones, and the MP5, which looks like, oh, that's an assault rubber band gun. You can't have that, but it holds 24. Okay, it's really cool. Elastic Precision is the company. They look like real working guns, actually, except they're wood grain, but they are really neat. I would say look them up, look up the video, and then I found that they actually have them, like the little one, the Walther PPK, they have it at Amazon, Amazon.com. If you look up Elastic Precision 1911, Elastic Precision PPK or MP5, you'll see it, and I'll give you an example. The Elastic Precision model PPK rubber band gun is on Amazon for $19.99. Now, I can see one of them coming my way. And actually, I think the 1911 is $19.99 also, okay? No, it's $39.99 because it's bigger and more precision. But the PPK, yeah, it's got a different kind of an action in it. It actually has a slide that moves. And then I think it's $199 for the MP5. But I want to say, outstanding. It's maple, walnut, and osage are the woods that it's made out of. And I can't imagine having any more fun in the house than with a rubber band gun. So what the heck? Okay, let's see. New California law obliterates gun owners' right to privacy. This is interesting. Oh, and Gavin Newsom, fresh off his win of his retaining his governorship of California, signed a new bill we've got Ed from Ypsilanti on a BB pistol. Hi, Ed. How are you?
Hi, Dick. Gee, I didn't mean to interrupt your thought process there.
That's okay. I just saw that there was a call and wanted to make sure we got it in. Go ahead.
All right. Well, a friend of mine across the street just came across this kind of battered Glock pistol, and he brought it over, and it turns out it's a BB pistol. And he sold it to me for $20 because it looks like it's been dropped a couple times. But I'm going to tell you, that thing sitting on my workbench freaks me out every time I turn around and look at it.
Does it have an orange tip on it?
No.
Ah.
It's a real BB gun, and it runs off of CO2 cartridges. The only weird thing is that when you put the cartridge in the pistol grip, you have to close it off with an Allen wrench. There's not like a set screw or anything, so you keep it hidden.
Yeah.
What a hoot.
Yeah.
Real hoot.
Do you know
that? As fast as you pull the trigger.
There are some. Does it have the slide works and everything on it?
Oh, very short action.
Okay.
Very short action, yeah.
There are some that are made out there now. I forget who makes them, but they. And they actually are branded like Sig Sauer, like a P320 and Berettas and things like that, they actually have an action that moves, and it's of the same weight, so it feels like it's a gun firing. So you get the movement of the action and stuff. Outstanding training type of pistol. But, you know, I'll tell you what, the one without an orange tip on it like that, that's the kind. Did he find it?
I have no idea. I'm not asking.
Yeah, the thing is that those are the kind that kids get in trouble with, because those are the ones where they're out there playing with it, and the officers get reports of somebody with a gun. They go, and the kid's got a realistic looking gun.
Yeah,
yeah, yeah.
But, yeah, it's going up. It's going up on the rack with my Uzi BB gun and my M16 BB gun and another one I've got.
Man, you're a
weird thing.
You're a BB gun aficionado there, aren't you?
It's good for the grandkids.
It is.
You can do it in the backyard.
Yep.
They get fun plinking cans. It's not bowling balls, but they're bowling pins.
Yep, yep. Yeah, not bowling balls. Bowling balls that would bounce back at you, probably.
Oh, and by the way, it is licensed by Glock, too, which is interesting. So it has the Glock logo on it.
Interesting. Probably had an orange tip on it, and somebody removed it just for the reason that I mentioned, to look more realistic. So
maybe.
Yep.
All right, talk to you later.
Thank you for the call. Thanks for the call.
Bye.
So I was talking about Gavin Newsom just signed a bill into law on Thursday, and the bill requires the California Department of Justice to supply information identifying firearms and ammunition purchases to a newly created research center at the University of California, Davis, or any other university that requests them. So the information would include the buyer's name, their address, the date of birth, what they purchased, when and where they bought it, and more. Okay? So now you can, if you're a university studying gun violence or any other reason that you might have, maybe you think that the gun violence is related to COVID. So yeah, that's the ticket. We can get there. Everybody's names and guns, and we'll have a list of who's got the guns and where they are. It's ridiculous. Okay. Let me see. I actually want to get to some gun stuff here. Beto O'Rourke says he's still coming for your guns. Oh, that's brilliant. He's running for governor of Texas now. He's decided he's going to run, and he'll be the first. If he goes, he'll make history being the first candidate in the land of come and take it to run on the platform of okay, I will. Yeah, remember when he said, yeah, we're coming for your AR-15s, okay? Let's see, things that don't suck. Okay, the Olight BALDR Pro Tactical Light and Green Laser, okay? This, again, I bought an Olight flashlight, and the company is O-L-I-G-H-T. Well, they also make this one called a BALDR Pro Tactical Light and Green Laser. Not only is it a cool flashlight to have a weapons light for on your gun, but it has a laser on the bottom of it too that you can adjust, and you can set up for, you know, like in the bedroom distance, you know, for 25 feet or something like that, and be able to utilize it as your weapons light at nighttime. So it's pretty cool. It runs on a couple of CR123 lithium batteries, which are the best kind to get for this kind of thing because they are long-lived, okay? Let's see. And I think it runs for, it's got an MSRP of $149, but they sell it at their store for $97.47. That's cheap, okay? Or $105 on Amazon. Can you believe Amazon selling guns? Oh, that's got to stop. They're selling a weapons light on Amazon? Gee, that's terrible. Let's see. I was mentioning the red dots that they were using on the pistols last week at Tri-County out at the pistol shoot. And I was very impressed with the small little red dots that the guys have on the pistols. I would like to have like a Romeo 5 or something for there. And there are different models of that. They go anywhere from $999 to $300. But Crimson Trace is a company that has a good name for itself of good products and good value. And they have come out with a quick release Crimson Trace red dot. And it seems to be, although it MSRP's for $339, they online they're $150. So a lot of times these inflated MSRP's are you know, 50 or 100% too high. At any rate, it's a neat product. It is well made. It is in the price range where for $150, if you want a decent product that should last, is very robustly built and stuff like that, or like I said, the Sig Romeo 5 or this Crimson Trace CTS 1000 would be a good bet. Let's see. What else was I going to talk about today? My first gun, this was talks about a classic surplus Mauser. I've still been reading, and I think they're kind of high priced, but again, everything is high priced. I went to the gun show at the Huron Valley Gun Collectors, and I want to say maybe I'm not keeping up as much with the used gun prices. I suppose when new guns, just like with cars, when new guns are hard to find, that makes the used ones more expensive as well. Well, we got another call here. We have got Tom from Detroit on Laser Sights. Hi, Tom.
Hi, Dick. Yeah, you're just talking about laser sights, and you were talking about a green one, and I wanted to talk about the difference between the green and the red.
Okay.
You know, I've used both. It seems to me, I like the red better. You know, the greens always cost more, too, but, you know, it seems like the greens, I could see them better, you know, in kind of subdued daylight and bright daylight. I can't see them at all, you know, where there's some light, I can see the green better, but at night, or when it's dark, I can see the red a lot better.
Yeah.
I'm thinking like, if I have light, why would I be using the laser if I can use my iron sight?
Well, that's true. And so you're talking actual lasers, not red dots.
Yeah, actual laser, yeah.
Yeah, I do know that theoretically, this is in theory, that the green light is supposed to be more visually available, or visually, the receptors in your eye will pick up the green light better during the daytime than a red, okay? That's what they claim. Okay, now I don't know that to be true, and you're right. If you're using a laser and you've got enough light that it's going to overpower a red one, then why are you using the laser? Right, you could still use your iron sights. I do also know that the green lasers typically, by the way, instead of costing more, they also use more power. Okay, that's what they say. So the battery life on a green laser would be considerably less than a battery life on a red laser. Okay. Now, I have a red laser on one of my pistols. I don't have any green lasers, but I do have this red dot that I just put on this 22 that I'm going to shoot tomorrow at the pin shoot. That it has both red and green. You know what I mean? You can choose it. So I don't know. I'll have to try that and see what I think. Okay.
Yeah. I mean, during light conditions, you're not going to get much range out of a laser, anyways. You know, when it's dark, I can see the dot, 100 yards away.
That is true, and it gets a little bit bigger, but for the most part, like if you're running a pistol with a red dot, with a red laser on it or a green laser on it, you're probably only using it 25 or 50 feet max, you know what I mean?
Yeah, if it's reasonably bright, it's more like, maybe 3 or 4 yards.
Well, yeah. Well, I want to say I have been very pleased with this one on the, and it's a Viridian laser that's on the LCP2, and I can remember with that laser shining it down the hall, not on the gun, okay, but down the hallway at work when I worked at Ford at product development. I just brought the laser in to show a friend, and I want to say it had to be 100 yard. Hallway, and it was perfectly bright, and you could see it on the end of the hall, even in the with the office lighting. You know what I mean?
Yeah, I just feel the thing with lasers is that at night, I've been out and I've had trouble with dogs around this area at night.
there was one time a woman was screaming, and, you know, she thought she was going to be attacked. There was actually a dog there, and it did leave. But, you know, and I had my pistol, and, you know, I couldn't see the front sight blade. And, you know, I mean, it's just situations like that, you just can't shoot at night.
Yeah.
Without some kind of a reference point.
Although, if you do know where your laser is pointed, you theoretically could, you know, I want to say that's exactly the situation where it's dark or it's semi-dark and you can't see the blade on the front of the gun, but you can see the laser on the object that you're pointing at. I would feel comfortable pulling the trigger at that point.
Well, the second shot, you have your muzzle flash on your first shot. So if you got a big enough magazine, then, you know, the dog's a small running target. But if you got enough rounds, you probably hit it. But if it's running away, you know, I mean, it doesn't take a dog very long to, you know, cover a couple, two or three yards.
Well, if it's running away, you've accomplished what you need to accomplish anyway. So. Well, thank you. Thank you for the call, Tom. I appreciate it today. Thanks for listening.
You're welcome. Bye.
Bye. Okay, so let's see. This was a story that we're going to run out of time here, but how many people, you always hear these people talking about hunting, and they go, well, you don't need an AR-15 to hunt. If you can't hit it with, you know, three shots, then you're not a good hunter. Well, the thing is that a lot of people hunt with a single shot, okay, like a Ruger number one or one of the break action rifles or shotguns, okay? Or essentially, if you are shooting and hunting with a muzzle loader, you're essentially shooting a single shot, right? Because by the time, there's no way that you can reload a muzzle loader in the time to get a second shot in, okay? And if the animal's down and you have to dispatch it, that's why you carry a revolver or you know, I usually will have a .357 or a .44 Magnum on me when I'm hunting, in case you have to put the animal down because if it was just injured. But the thing is that the point is that with a single shot, you make the first shot count. Think about this back in the old days, the guys with the muzzle loaders back in the 1700s, in the 1800s, and stuff like that. You had to make that first shot count. None of this blasting away at stuff. Well, so I understand their point about an AR, but you know what? Even with an AR, you usually have a reduced capacity magazine in it that is consistent with the DNR requirements of your state. If it allows you to only hold four rounds, then you only hold four rounds or five rounds or whatever, okay? So it doesn't really matter what the platform is of the gun. You know, you're going to be limited to 3 to 5 rounds max anyway. But I kind of like the single shot aspect of it. And so I want to say I'm going to do some hunting this year with my muzzle loader. And you know, if I get a good shot, great. If I don't, well, then I just got to do better next time. So we'll talk about that next week on making that first shot count, and that they're more affordable, and what other reasons might you want? They're compact in size because they don't have a big action like a Harrington Rich H&R, you know, break action or something. So let's talk about that next week. They're good for beginners, too, because with only a single shot, then you don't have to worry about them inadvertently having a discharge because they were not prepared for it to cycle the action and reload the, you know, the chamber. Anyway, this is Dick Kupke at Trigger Talk Radio here at Wham Talk 1600 and 92.7 FM. Have a good week, and I'll see you next week.